Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our EBC live service on Sunday. My name is Richard Doherty, if you're not a regular, and I'm the youth minister here. I'm joined by Ian Snell, who's running all of our technology today, and we've got a really exciting service planned for you with Ali speaking to us in a bit and some testimonies and other bits and pieces. Hopefully you are all doing well and you've been able to tap into the different things that we're doing during the week. Hopefully you're keeping yourself safe and being able to look after each other and keeping in touch with life groups and things like that. It's been lovely going around filming people to share the words of the grace at the end, because everyone I go to, when I say, how are you doing a church keeping in touch, they're saying, yeah, our life group leaders ring around, you know, once a week or every couple of weeks. People are asking how we're doing. People have been helping each other with shopping and all sorts. And it's been really lovely to be part of a church which has done so well looking after folks and seeing how everyone's going. We've got a couple of notices today. The first of which will be that it is our weekly prayer meeting this week. So here we are over here. We do a prayer meeting on a Wednesday. And then the next week we do a worship on a Wednesday. I think so that's 7:30. And if you want access to that, then you can either send us a message on Facebook, write in the comments, or send us an email at our website, emmanuelbc.org.uk. As well as our weekly prayer meeting, the other notice is that in September, which is just but a few short days, we're starting a new series as a church looking at the sayings of Jesus, and we're calling it September Soundbites. So as well as looking at some of the sayings of Jesus on a Sunday, we've also got daily readings where for 30 days you can look at 30 things that Jesus said, and that's just a really good way as a church to be on the same page, but also to spend some time looking at what Jesus says about things, the kind of way that Jesus treated people and his priorities. If you haven't had one of these through on email, if you're a visitor today and you'd like one, then again, drop a comment in the service and we'll make sure that you get a link with access to that. Now, we're not being draconian and saying you can't use your Bible reading notes, you have to use this, but why not do both? If you've got things you like reading, like Oswald Chambers or other things, then, you know, also have a look at one of these as well, and it'll be really good to do something as a fellowship when we're not meeting together physically. That's all my notices, but we've got something quite exciting, which is that for the last few weeks we've been running out of time to play one of our testimony videos, but both Doug and myself went and saw Derek and were able to ask him how things had gone with him during lockdown, and Derek's going to share how the Lord's been good to him.
Hello everyone. I trust you're all well and managing with our Lord's help to cope with the strange changes we have all had to face. When we began our time at the start of the lockdown, personally I was thankful to God that he was not on a lockdown, but working his purposes out in accordance with his pleasure and perfect will. Now I will share a testimony of how God prevented the outcome of a couple of situations from being much worse. I think you all know by now that I work at the old co-op. Well, I have to confess, I had it in my head that I wanted to take an early retirement. Then I thought I could give more of my time to serving God in a way that I thought was right. Well, I prayed about it, hoping deep down inside that I would get my own way. But every time I sought God's will, I always felt that he wanted me to remain at the co-op. In my ignorance, I could not understand why, but thankfully, in the end, I went with what I believed the Lord was telling me to do, and in laying down my own will, the desire for early retirement thankfully evaporated. I thank the Lord for the job at the co-op, as he had given it to me back in 2006. It is such a perfect job for getting to know people, and I've been given some lovely opportunities in the past to share my faith with those I meet. Since the lockdown started, I can only explain how I have felt by saying that I felt I was in the right place at the right time. Well, in late March, when the instruction came from government telling us to go into this state of lockdown, it came as a surprise, for what was being asked of us was something that had never happened before and was certainly alien to all of us. Up to the start of this lockdown, I had always been blessed to go to my friend's house for my main meal of the day. So now I had decided to stay in my own home and prepare my own meals. It felt as if I had no choice, because if I didn't live with my friend, I would therefore be unable to see her under the guidelines of our government. Well, I don't know about you, but I am not best on my own, and come to that, neither is my friend. Well, once again, the Lord stepped in at just the right time and caused my friend to offer me the use of her spare room that she has in her house. So when this was offered to me, I jumped at the opportunity, for this way we would both be able to help each other, as well as give each other a bit of companionship when we weren't doing other things. All I had to do was temporarily move from my flat to the room that had been made available to me. However, I look forward to moving back home again and continuing my life in the home that God gave me when he called me to Swanage nearly 22 years ago.
Thank you very much, Derek. It's so lovely to hear how the Lord has blessed you at this time. And as you've talked about how good our Father God is, I thought that was how we'd start our worship today, singing about how wonderful it is to be brought into the family of the Creator of the universe. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. Now I am your child, I am adopted in your family, and I can never be alone, 'cause Father God, you're there beside me. I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises forevermore. I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises forevermore. Father God, I wonder how I manage to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. But now I am your child, I am adopted in your family, and I can never be alone, 'cause Father God, you're there beside me. I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises forevermore. I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises forevermore.
Oh,
well, I was walking around Swanage the other day when I saw something I have never seen in all of my life, okay? And I was very excited to see this thing, because it's when I was younger, I used to be a little bit of an entomologist, which is somebody who looks, is that an entomologist? Somebody who was really into bugs and insects and all sorts of things like that. And when I saw this creature, I was absolutely amazed. I'm going to show you a video now, just so you can get a scale for how big this thing was. Here we go.
Look at the size of him. Oh, absolute monster.
Okay, now I'm really sorry that I threw that on you without any warning this morning in case you absolutely hate bugs, but that was the biggest caterpillar I have ever seen in my entire life. And I'm going to freak you out again with a picture just here, because it is an elephant hawk moth caterpillar. Okay, and maybe you've had these in your gardens eating your fuchsias, but they are absolutely huge. And as you can see in my hand, you know, it was almost as long as my hand. It was about, you know, a good 8 centimetres and very, very fat. And the reason they're called elephant hawk moth caterpillars is because the caterpillars look like an elephant's trunk. They've got this big fat body, and then they get to their shoulders, they've got a long neck with a head that looks like an elephant's trunk. And I don't know if you noticed, but when I picked it up, it pulled its head back inside its body, and it looked a bit like a snake. They've got these big eye spots, and hopefully you can see them in the picture there. And it was such a big caterpillar that when it fell out of my hand, it actually made a noise when it hit the tarmac. And I thought, wow, that's absolutely incredible. And I thought, you know, the interesting thing about these kind of scary looking, great big snake-like, bit ugly, bit cool caterpillars is they turn into something absolutely incredible. And I've kept the caterpillar, and I've been feeding him, and something incredible has happened, because he's no longer a caterpillar. In fact, he's transformed. Let me get that on camera. Here we are. Oh, are we there? He is transformed. Let me get, there we go, into a cocoon. In fact, he looks like he's dead, but he's not. If you pick him up, he wriggles. Okay, I'm going to put him down because he doesn't really like it. But he's no longer a great big caterpillar anymore. He's changed into a cocoon. And when he emerges, or she emerges, they won't be a scary snake-looking caterpillar anymore, but they're going to turn into this. An elephant hawk moth. Look at the colours on that. I've got another picture as well. They are absolutely beautiful. That brown caterpillar, that big, long, huge, fat caterpillar, turns into this absolutely beautiful moth. And if that cocoon, I'm going to bury it in some dirt, and in about 8 months' time, it will crawl out, and it will fill its wings, and it will fly off and make millions more caterpillars probably. And I was thinking, isn't it absolutely amazing how something so long and weird and wiggly can transform into something so colourful, so beautiful, and something that can fly? Could you imagine if you could transform into something tomorrow? If you could get into a sleeping bag and zip it up and transform into something completely different? And it made me think that actually, that's a little bit like Jesus. But he did it the other way around. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God. That he's always been God. In fact, Ali, who's going to speak to us later, is going to share that Jesus was there at the very beginning. He's part of God. And he was there and he helped create absolutely everything. And Jesus was a bit like the absolutely beautiful, amazing butterfly. He's incredible. He's wonderful. He can do amazing things. But the Bible says he left heaven and he transformed into something less. Instead of the caterpillar turning into the moth, Jesus transformed into a person. And he couldn't be everywhere at once like God is. He had to be in one place in a body. God, who spoke the universe into creation by saying, "Let there be light," became a baby who couldn't speak and had to depend on a mum and a dad. So Jesus left the glory and transformed into something less. It'd be like the moth turning back into the caterpillar. But we also know that Jesus, when he died and when he came back to life again, a bit like the caterpillar going into the cocoon, he emerged in a wonderful heavenly form. And he's in heaven now and he loves us. And actually he says to us that actually we are a bit like the caterpillars. We crawl around and sometimes we do things which aren't very good. And Jesus says, "Come to me and I will transform you into something more." So nature is absolutely incredible. I think caterpillars and things like that are so unique and so special and so wonderful. But Jesus says, you are more important. You are incredibly and wonderfully made. And actually, if you know Jesus, he can transform you into something more than. We're going to sing a song which has got some of the most profound lyrics in all of Christendom. If I were a butterfly, I'd thank you, Lord, for giving me wings. But the chorus goes, well, I'm just grateful, God, that you made me, me. It's the best line in any Christian song is, if I were a fuzzy wuzzy bear, I'd thank you, Lord, for my fuzzy wuzzy hair, but I just thank you, Father, for making me me. So we're going to sing this song together. Hopefully you little ones rock out and dance around in the living room, and some of the older ones too, and after that we'll be moving on into a bit of another time of worship. Well, if I were a butterfly, thank you, Lord, for giving me wings. And if I were a robin in a tree, and if I were a robin in a tree, I'd thank you, Lord, that I could sing. And if I were a fish in the sea, I'd wiggle my tail and I'd giggle with glee. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me, me, me. For you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus and you made me a child. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me, me, me. Well, if I were an elephant, I'd thank you, Lord, by raising my trunk. And if I were a kangaroo, you know I'd hop right up to you. And if I were an octopus, I'd thank you, Lord, for my fine looks. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me, me, me. For you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus and you made me a child. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me, me, me. Well, if I were a wiggly worm, I'd thank you, Lord, that I could squirm. And if I were a crocodile, I'd thank you, Lord, for my great big smile. And if I were a fuzzy wuzzy bear, I'd thank you, Lord, for my fuzzy wuzzy hair. But I'd just thank you, Father, for making me me, me, me. For you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus and you made me a child. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me, me, me. There we go, absolutely wonderful. Isn't it good that God has made us exactly as we are? That we're all different, but he loves us and wants us to be part of his family. Ali talks about Jesus in a bit of a different way later, kind of using one of his nicknames, which is the Word. And also the light of the world. And we're going to sing two songs which focus on the wonderful name of Jesus and who he is. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. You're here. Compressed it is.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, the silence of both of sin and pray. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forevermore you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart.
Father God, thank you that you love this world so much, that as you, the Son and the Spirit, were creating it, you already knew that people would turn against you and you had a plan to come and save it. Thank you, Jesus, that we can know your great love. Thank you, Jesus, that we can become part of your team, part of your family. And Lord, as Ali shares what she's prepared, what you've laid on her heart, as we look through that opening few words of John chapter 1 together, I pray that you would speak to us, whether we've been Christians for a long time, that you'd refresh our love for you, that you'd share or show us something new for us. And if we don't yet know you, if we don't yet call ourselves part of your family, that you would draw us in, you'd make us clean and new. Amen. Amen. Over to you, Ali.
Good morning. I wonder how many problems we experience can be put down to poor communication. The written word can be fraught with difficulties. For example, if we don't get the punctuation right, it can lead to tragic circumstances. From the rather chilling and threatening, "Let's eat Grandma," to the more homely, "Let's eat Grandma." Just one comma is all it takes. Then again, meaning can be lost through translation. This notice was seen in a hotel in Bucharest. The lift is being fixed for the next day. During that time, we regret that you will be unbearable. Some typos cause consternation. One excuse note to school read, "My son is under a doctor's care and could not take PE yesterday. Please execute him." Sometimes we just get the wrong end of the stick. This cartoon is a golden oldie. It shows an elderly couple sitting side by side on the bench. He gazes lovingly at her and says, "In the moonlight, your teeth look just like pearls." And she replies, "Who's Pearl? And what were you doing in the moonlight with her?" Of course, we all know how careful we have to be when sending texts or writing emails, because the words might say one thing, but the tone of our voice might say something else. Something we had meant as a joke might be totally misunderstood by the reader. All in all, if you have something really important to say, you're probably better off saying it face to face. So no wonder then that when God wanted to communicate his great love for us, he decided not to stand at a distance and shout, but rather to be made known through the life and the work and the person of Jesus Christ. It is vitally important that we understand who the Bible says Jesus is. So we're going to read from John chapter 1 and starting at verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Notice that John begins and ends his prologue with a declaration that Jesus is God. Not only in John's Gospel, but throughout the New Testament, we discover that Jesus is of the very same essence as the Father. Jesus is God. This is how Jesus is able to make God known to us. He is the one through whom and for whom all things were created. He himself was not created, but he existed before the world began. In Jesus is the very life of God himself, and that life reveals God to us as light shining in the darkness. I read the other day about a Scottish theologian called Thomas Torrance. As a young army chaplain, he held the hand of a 19-year-old soldier who was dying. And then later, as a pastor in Aberdeen, he visited an elderly lady from his congregation. They both had asked him the same question. Is God really like Jesus? He answered them with these words. God is indeed really like Jesus. There is no unknown God behind the back of Jesus for us to fear. To see the Lord Jesus is to see the very face of God. If this were not so, how could we be saved? If Jesus were just a great teacher or set an excellent moral example for us, how could his death make us right with God? Well, it couldn't. But Jesus, fully human and fully God, died that we might be forgiven and restored to friendship with God. This is what God had to communicate with us, his sacrificial love. In the words of Graham Kendrick, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. There is a lovely story told. It's set in days gone by. It's the story of a prince who fell in love with a beautiful maiden. And he wanted to marry her and make her his queen. But there was one problem. Their social standing was just too far apart one from the other. What was he to do? Of course, he could order her to marry him. But even a prince wants his bride to marry him freely and through no coercion. He could dress himself in his most splendid uniform and drive in a carriage drawn with six beautiful white horses right up to her front door. But then she might be just overwhelmed with his splendour. So he decided instead, what he had to do was to give up his kingly clothes. He had to discard his crown and enter the village as a peasant, dressed in peasant's clothes, sharing the life of the villagers, speaking in their language, and sharing their concerns. In time, the girl fell in love with the prince for who he was, and all because he had first loved her. In Jesus, God stooped down to our level in order to raise us up to his. He shines in our darkness, that we might enter into his wonderful light. And no matter how dark it gets, his light can never be put out. We cannot always control our circumstances, but we can be sure that God is with us and that he loves us. We need to hold on firmly to the truth of who Jesus is. Well, in the same way, we need to hold on firmly to the truth of who we are. Let's look at verses 11 to 13 again. Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. It amazes me that we are invited to become children of God, not just subjects or servants or ambassadors or even friends, but his children. This is the purpose of the Word becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us. God doesn't love us just because it's in his job description. He loves us because of who he is, our loving, perfect Father. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are his treasured possession, valued, honoured, carried close to his heart. God delights in us. He rejoices over us with singing and numbers every hair of our heads. We are never forgotten because we are engraved on the palms of his hands. And he will never turn us away. John Ortberg is one of my favourite Christian writers. He asks the question, what if you were to make your life an experiment in living in the love of God? Every morning when you wake up, let your first words be, I am the beloved. Each night when you sleep, let your last words echo, I am the beloved. What a difference this would make to the way we live our life. We would worry less. Nothing would overwhelm us. We'd enjoy peace and security. We wouldn't need to prove ourselves to anyone. We'd be able to show other people the goodness of God. Our life would tell the story of someone who knows they are precious, chosen, honoured and treasured. This is truth to live by. So we should live our life firm in the knowledge of who Jesus is and firm in the knowledge of who we are. Receiving Jesus is not just a one-off. It is something we do day by day and moment by moment. The Bible says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Receive him into your weakness, and he will make you strong. Receive him into your sadness, and he will bring you joy. Receive him into your chaos, and he will bring you peace. Receive him into your emptiness, and he will give you himself. When Jesus was 12 years old, he went missing. His mum and dad just thought that he was with the relatives as they went home from Jerusalem. But after a whole day had passed, they realised their mistake and began a frantic search for him. When they found Jesus, he was in the temple discussing great matters with the teachers there, and everyone was amazed at his understanding, at the questions he asked, the answers he gave. Now, if you have ever lost a child, you might be forgiven for thinking that amazement was not uppermost in the minds of Mary and Joseph. They scolded Jesus, telling him that they'd been searching for him all day. But Jesus replied, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Now, if you read this verse in the NIV, you will see a footnote there, which has an alternative translation. Be about my Father's business. Didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's business? Some versions have this alternative translation, and Eugene Peterson paraphrases the verse like this. Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here, dealing with the things of my Father? This idea of dealing with the things of his Father continues elsewhere in the New Testament. There was another occasion when Jesus healed a man who was lame. Because he healed him on the Sabbath day, the leaders began to persecute him. And we pick up the story in John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus says, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer. "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." We might say that Jesus, the Son of God, is in the family business. And that is our calling too, as children of God, to be in the family business. As we walk with Jesus, we see other people through his eyes. We become his hands and feet. We go where he leads us. Mark Misselberg from Willow Creek said this: "God knew what he was doing when he made you. He custom designed you with your unique combination of personality, temperament, talents and background. And he wants to use you to reach others in a fashion that fits your design. God will put into your path those he wishes to bless through you. What a privilege." Some of you will know that I've recently retired. I wish I had a fiver for the number of times I've heard someone say, "There's no such thing as retirement in the Christian life." Oh no! But it's true, isn't it? However old you become, however weak you feel, God has created good works for you to accomplish. There are things that only you can do. Furthermore, as we receive God, so we will become like him. Not only will we enjoy the privilege of working in the family business, we will take on the family likeness, and our whole way of being will reflect the love of the Father. So, brothers and sisters, let us hold firmly to the truth of who Jesus is, fully God and fully man. Let us hold firmly to the truth about ourselves, sinner yet child beloved of God. And may we also reflect the family likeness as we go about our everyday business. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ali, for sharing that with us. And I definitely feel challenged by starting and ending my day with reminding myself that I am loved by God and what a difference that might make. We're going to sing a song, the final song, which speaks about the nature of Jesus, that we believe that he is the only one who gives us that access to the Father. It's the song Cornerstone. And my foot pedal is not controlling. So just while I sort this out here, I will pray. Father God, thank you so much for the challenging words that Ali brought to us today and all the encouragement that was in it too. I just pray that as we sing this final song, we would sing it to your Son and glorify him before the Mabs share the words of the grace with us. Let's sing.
Thank you.
visit Mike and Angela Mabbs this week and catch up with them, and they were kind enough to record the words of the grace for us, so we're going to share together as a church now in those words.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.